morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am June Rogers, and I will be the lead teacher on the teaching that we're going to go over today. I'm so glad that Pastor plays that particular song just before we get started about it being a privilege, because it's so easy to just kind of take this for granted, our ability to come together and delve into the Word of God and to be in different places. So I just want to, you know, shout out to Pastor and thank him for that song, because it's very inspirational to me, and I hope it is to you as well. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, we just thank you again for this opportunity. We see it as a privilege to be able to come together and to study your Word. Help us to always remember that it is your love that is bringing us together in relationship with you, and that it's our love back to you that brings us here this morning, wanting to get to know you better through your living word. So help us, Lord, to get to really understand what point you wanted to get across in these particular scriptures, and for it to be placed inside of our hearts and minds in such a way that we will be able to recall it in the future by way of the Holy Spirit. These things we ask in your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, as I was saying, it is indeed a pleasure to be with you all this morning. It's my continued pleasure to be part of the Bible teaching staff here at Runner for Christ Ministries. And this is the first course that I am lead on, since we were all fortunate to receive some much-needed instruction on how to conduct research to ensure that we are teaching God's Word in a way that we are extracting out the truth from His Word instead of inserting our own thoughts into it. I have indeed tried a new method to preparation known as the exegetical method. It includes analysis of the text from six viewpoints, including contextual, structural, verbal, cultural, theological, and homiletical. I know these may sound like unusual words, but they're pretty straightforward. In doing things this way, I'm assured that every angle is considered. By the power of the Holy Spirit, as I checked in those dark corners, He shed the level of light I need to really see what God wants me to see to prepare me for this teaching, and then to show me what to highlight to you. This is essential because every word in the Bible is extremely concentrated. There's just so much we can get out of it. Indeed, endless. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training us in righteousness, so we're equipped for every good work. So I'm grateful to the Holy Spirit for guiding me to cover what you, the listener, needs to hear for this particular day and time. Wow, God has everything covered, and I trust Him. Do you? All right, then, let's get started. So first off, 1 Thessalonians is a letter, and the letter is written by Paul to a specific group of believers and by extension to us who believe today. Paul's letters have at heart building the faith of believers and frequently to correct misconceptions. 1 Thessalonians is one such letter. Now, while all of Paul's letters, just like any letter, may have some common themes, there are things about them that are individual, such as who they're written to and what may have prompted the letter, like, say, what was going on in the life of the person the letter is written to. So let's take a few moments to get into the context of this particular letter. Paul was an apostle, and he stood up many churches. The church at Thessalonica was one of them. It is believed that he brought the word about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to this church around A.D. 50 during what I'm going to call his long evangelist tour. Acts 16 reports that on Paul's second missionary journey, he moved from town to town led of the Holy Spirit. I reread Acts 16 with great interest to note that there were places that the Holy Spirit led Paul and Silas away from. Holy Spirit is real, y'all, and we need to be tuned in so we don't end up somewhere He never sent us, especially when we're on a mission from God. Now, Paul, following God's direction, ends up in a city called Philippi of Macedonia to share the gospel. The missionary journey is successful, with Paul and Silas being noticed by many, including the fortune-telling slave girl who proclaimed that they were the servants of the Most High God who had come to tell them how to be saved. Yes, even the demons recognized Jesus' work. But the slave girl was getting on Paul's nerves. But more importantly, she needed Jesus. It was something that needed to be done. So Paul commanded in the name of Jesus that the demon leave her. Well, that was a blow to her master's fortune-telling business. So they beat them and had Paul and Silas locked up. Wow, that's something else. I was about to say that we don't have that kind of societal culture anywhere today, but that's not true. Even here in America, you could get beat for interfering with a business, especially one operating on the black market. And it's a way of life for lawless syndicates to harm people. And where there are corrupt governments, a person could even be thrown in prison. But the will of God cannot be stopped by people, governments, or principalities. So putting Paul in prison did not stop him. Everywhere that Paul went, his message and the power of Christ went, even in prison. When God responded to the praises Paul and Silas sent with an earthquake that opened the doors, the jailer thought they had escaped and was about to kill himself. Instead, what happened was that Paul and Silas led him to Christ. The next morning, Paul and Silas were officially released, and officials begged them to leave the town, and that's when they headed to Thessalonica. I confess to never enjoying history when I was in school. There is a lot I do not know about world history, primarily because I just tuned it all out when I was in school. But I have to say, looking into how things went down in Thessalonica was intriguing. So as recorded in Acts chapter 17, as was Paul's custom, when he got there, he went to the synagogue service, and for three Sabbaths in a row, he used the prophetic scriptures to reason with the people about how Jesus was the Messiah. Many Jews and God-fearing Greeks who heard his truth responded. But there were some jealous Jews who went to work. Oh, the haters. They've been around for a long time. So it was that Paul and Silas were basically run out of Thessalonica too. But what really struck me was how little time Paul spent with this new group of believers, considering how strong was their faith, as recorded in 1 Thessalonians. It was like he really only had a little time to plant some seeds. And of course, we see that God gave the increase. What was particularly noticeable was how they turned from idols. And this all happened in the wake of a culture that was off the hook, kind of like ours in present day, given that just about anything goes. Thessalonica, the capital city of Macedonia, was a busy and prominent seaport and trade center located on a busy international highway. It was a prosperous city with lots of Greek paganism. Basically, Thessalonica was one of the wealthiest and most influential cities in Macedonia, which does not surprise me. Have you noticed that some of the biggest and wealthiest cities are home to the most vice? But God is everywhere. His message is real. And when it's preached and heard, many will respond, like those believers who got to hear three of Paul's sermons. So at the time he wrote this letter, Thessalonica would be considered a young church. Still, we should not presume that because they were young in the faith that this meant they were not doers of the word. In fact, as we move through the text, you will see that reports back to Paul suggested that they were role models to other believers. Those who have traced Paul's travels state that this first letter to the Thessalonians was written around 51 AD during part of his stay in Corinth from 51 to 52 AD. So there are five chapters here in this first letter to the Thessalonians. In chapter 1, Paul commends the Thessalonians for their growth. In chapters 2 and 3, Paul reflects on strengthening of the church. And in chapters 4 and 5, Paul gives specific instructions to the Thessalonians. It is a relatively short book of the Bible, but like all scripture, it's highly concentrated. I am so glad that God is not like me, where I may use a lot of words to say a little. Our God uses fewer words and says a lot. Now, just before I start reading chapter 1, let me give you a would-you-rather question to ponder. In the form of an award, would you rather receive a small monetary amount right now, or would you rather have widespread recognition where everyone will know now and into the future about your awesome contribution? So right now, you could take a little bit of money and not too many people know about it, or you can waive that, and at a later time, you get widespread recognition, and everyone's going to know about what you did right then and probably into the future. So, chapter 1, here's the text. I'll be reading from New Living Translation. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the Church of Thessalonica, to you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and peace. We always thank God for you, all of you, and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, for the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. And they speak of how you're looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. Okay, here's something interesting right off the start. Paul says that the letter is from him, Silas, and Timothy. So you know how sometimes you buy a greeting card and then write a personal message and sign it with your name and a few other people? So while you bought the card and wrote a message, the sentiment behind the card, whether it's encouragement, caring, sympathy, or celebration, is sent from all of you. That's how this letter starts out. It's written by Paul, but the message is supported by Silas and Timothy also. Look at verse 3. I've been trained to see patterns, particularly where there are connections. When I teach in the secular world, I first identify where I want a learner to get to, and then I start to craft a lesson that helps guide them to where I want them to go. When I looked at this verse, I see a pattern. If we want to do work that is inspired by faith, Paul gives us a blueprint right here. Seeing this in the reverse, if our labor is prompted by love, and we're enduring based on our inspiration in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is evident that the work we produce is done so by faith. Let's consider the absence of God in our work for a minute to really get this point. Have you ever engaged in some grueling work, but since it was prompted by love and you were inspired by God, you were good to go? It felt easy? Might I suggest that any work that you undertake motivated by hate is going to be harder to work? How likely are you to go to God asking for strength with a hardened heart? Okay, before I start getting more into what we can take away from these scriptures, let me tell you about the last charge we received from the teacher of teachers. That's Assistant Pastor Janice Tate. It's called the homiletical analysis. What is that? Well, let me tell you. It's actually my favorite part. As a matter of fact, I do this a lot with all of the Bible discussions that I've led. I just didn't know that it had a name. The issue, though, is whether I've done it right or not. Okay, let me tell you what it is. A homiletical analysis is teaching for application. It's where we look at how the text applies to readers of today, essentially how to apply the lesson. Now, the key to all of this is an approach whereby you're making sure that you're extracting out of the word instead of reading into the word. Make sense? I know. This is a fine distinction because, as I mentioned earlier with the 2 Timothy reference, which tells us that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and equipping the Christian, a person could justify that any scripture means anything. But just now as I was writing this, I note that the rest of that scripture says for equipping the believer in righteousness to do every good. So there, it's not a catch-all. You have to look at the purpose. Much of these letters, including 1 Thessalonians, is written to believers. So what can we get out of what we read so far? What is the context? Paul is speaking to believers, and how can I, as the speaker, ensure that I give honor and glory to God by focusing on what the text is leading me to say versus what's in my head? pray some more. And I did, and I will continue to do so. So here's what I think the Lord is leading me to say to you today about chapter 1. If I had to wrap up one word to describe what Paul is doing in the beginning of the letter, it would be encouragement. He is uplifting them. In verse 4, he reminds them that they are loved by God and that they are chosen by God. Wow, that's enough to get anyone to sit up straighter, right? Paul is demonstrating how to encourage. A few of the points about encouragement is that I think it can be viewed as a virtue. Uplifting others is necessary, and it's free. It doesn't cost us anything to do this. I think we can see the importance, too, of the young needing encouragement, like with this church being young. After all, when someone's young in the faith or young in age, they've got obstacles that are coming at them that are new to them that they haven't learned about how to overcome. And even if we think about something like suicide, mostly when you strip away in those letters and the reasons why people give for committing suicide, it's usually because they're discouraged about something. So encouragement is very important. Hebrews 10:24 charges us to think of ways to motivate another to acts of love and good works. And a bit further on in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we will see Paul issuing a reminder to encourage each other and build each other up. So again, encouragement is encouraged by God. The first thing you have to do when encouraging is to get a person to see their worth. Last week, my sister forwarded me a link from a Netflix compilation of famous black women speaking words of encouragement. It starts out with the first speakers calling the viewers queen. When they said, "Hey, queen," I was immediately tuned into what they had to say. I can hold my head up higher. It got my attention. I was like, "You're talking to me? Wow." It was so encouraging. And if you haven't seen it yet, reach out and I'll send you a link. Anyways, this viral video has been around probably for about 2 years, but when looking at it, it's timeless. True encouragement is indeed timeless. When we read the words about being loved and chosen by God, it's just as meaningful for us in our day as it was for the Thessalonians in their day. So getting a person's attention by letting them know that they are special is a sure way to kick off encouragement. But how are they going to know that you mean it, that they really are indeed special? I don't think it hurts to let people know that they're valuable often. I remember when I was first introduced to word processing, being able to type out drafts of documents, return to them, and change them is so much better than how things used to be when we just had typewriters and we didn't have computers. But the thing is, unlike when we were typing, where we had access to hard copy paper backups of early drafts, with a computer, one wrong move, and you could delete everything with no backup and have to start all over. I know I'm not the only one who has lost a document along the way. As we were learning, one thing that was repeated by instructors was to remember to save. I morphed this lesson into a reminder that I needed to save early and save often. I feel the same way about letting people know that they're special. We need to do it so much that whether we're encouraging or even having the discipline, they will always know their worth. I have to admit to feeling good about a former coworker who every morning when she saw me would say, "Good morning, sunshine." But then one day I heard her say the same identical thing to someone else, and I had to ponder on this. I took away from it that her calling someone else sunshine did not diminish her worth of me. Same thing happened at Runner for Christ Ministry when I learned that Deaconess Kathy was greeting more than just me with "Hello, beautiful." But by then I had come to understanding more about the persons who greet others this way. They're genuine encouragers. If I feel special, beautiful, or like sunshine when I hear someone say these words, shouldn't I want others to feel this too? Listen, God has enough love for all of us. So his choosing you and loving you is not only something that is real, it's something that we should share as a regular message to others, just like Paul did in the beginning of this letter. Some call this establishing rapport. If you want to build a relationship, you have to build on something. Starting with a positive connection is a good idea. So step one was to get their attention and remind them that they are special. The next thing that Paul did was to compliment them. Some would even say that he was bragging, but to me in a good way. There's nothing wrong with uplifting another person so long as you're not idolizing them. As a matter of fact, part of Paul's praise for them was the fact that they had turned from idols as recorded in verse 9. He is basically telling them about the report he has gotten about them. This also included the fact that their conviction in God was strong in the face of severe suffering. So what do you think about uplifting others, especially when it comes to acts of faith? Complimenting people can definitely be considered a controversial topic. During Black History Month, I listened to each of the speakers on Kathy's show, Bring Back the Family. Many of them spoke about how we need to encourage and uplift our children so they can have the confidence to be the people that the Lord made them to be, so they can find their purpose and run with it. But one question kept burning in my mind. I wanted to ask Pastor O to weigh in on it, but the opportunity never really presented itself. So I will instead pose it to you for a matter of reflection. The question is this: how do we raise children to be proud without pushing them into pridefulness? Is this not a question of degree? We want them to feel good about themselves, but not to the point of arrogance and looking down on others, right? What is that special ingredient when given in just the right portion is the winning recipe? Can we find some of the answer right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? Yes, I think so. While Paul compliments them, look at what he's praising them for, namely their faith and works in Christ. In verse 8, Paul says that their faith in God has become known everywhere. So Paul stays on point and gives them praise for something of substance. And he brings it back to faith and hope in Jesus here in verse 10, reminding them of the second coming. Yes, something to hope for. That is part of the encouragement packet. We start with getting the hearer to know their worth. Then we praise them for what they've done or are doing. And finally, we assure them that it's going to be okay. For me, the largest group of people I get to encourage, that's right, I said I get to encourage, because we should look at this virtue as an honor. So for me, it was employees when I was a boss, and now it's college students in my classes. What I found is that encouragement is not just words but deeds. Typically, the way I do this concerns feedback for individual assignments and in assessments like grades. Of course, I have to maintain integrity, and I would not be doing anyone a favor by fabricating a grade. But what I can do is give people the benefit of the doubt. So when a presentation, paper, or assignment can go either way, I make the decision to go in favor of the student, to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I am constantly communicating this to them with feedback that includes instructions on how they can do better. Which do you think is likely to result in a person improving? When you criticize what they did wrong, or encourage and point out what they did good and suggest that they do more of the good? That's just one example of how I try to encourage. So who needs your encouragement in your circle of family, friends, or acquaintances? Is it the niece or nephew who is about to move away from home and start college? Is it the neighbor who has just lost his job? What about the cashier moonlighting at the grocery store who can barely stand from fatigue? People need people. People need to be encouraged, and they need to be encouraged by you. It is no accident that you find certain people in your pathway, no more so than it was an accident that Paul ended up in Thessalonica for just a little while after fleeing Philippi before being run out of yet another town. If only Paul had focused on passing through instead of the people and delivering the message of Christ, he would never have lit the fuse that fired up their belief in Jesus. If we want to be the type of role models like the Thessalonians were for Christ, then we need to do what Jesus would do. Even when Jesus encountered some who were in the middle of sin, Jesus modeled encouragement. Take, for example, the woman at Jacob's well discussed in John 4. He let her see that she had worth just by speaking to her, given what she usually had to endure. He complimented her for speaking the truth, and then he encouraged her with what he had to give, that is, eternal life. As Christians, we have to remember that all roads begin with, lead to, and end with Christ. So as we finish up chapter 1, ponder on how Paul encouraged the Thessalonians and how you too can encourage others. Well, I had here on my notes to see if we had time to start reading chapter 2, And given that it's 2 to 3 minutes before 10, the answer to that would be no. Something a little comical. I was trying to make sure I figured out how to pronounce Thessalonica correctly, and I got two different pronunciations online, and I think the one that I've been tossing out might be a third one. So I ask for your forgiveness. I've been doing my best. All right, so we started out with a would-you-rather question that related to encouragement. Some of you did text me with your preferences so I can report back next week. Again, the question was, in the form of an award, would you rather receive a small monetary amount right now or widespread recognition where everyone will know then and into the future about your awesome contribution? Now, before we finish up this morning, I have to give you your homework for this week. Remember I said I think we need to figure out how to encourage children to be proud without it developing into pridefulness. So think about that. If you have any good answer, I would love to hear it. Okay, so here's your reflection question. What can I say or do as a matter of habit to convey encouragement to others? Remember, we always want to keep Christ at the forefront of the work we're doing for him. We want to do it his way. So as you reflect on coming out with things that you can say or do that will be habit-forming to encourage others, remember to pray, speak to God, and he will give you answers. Okay? So I think I can hear Kathy in the background, so let me finish up with a quick prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this time we've been granted to read and meditate on your word. I pray that it has penetrated deep into their minds and hearts, our minds and hearts, so that the evil one will not snatch it away. I pray this week that they will encourage and be encouraged, knowing that you love them with an everlasting love. Please let them keep the faith in you. In the name of your precious son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hey, Kathy, I did it.
Amen. I know you went right down to the wire. It's so great. Thank you. Good lesson, because you know I love encouragement, and yes, I love to just tell everybody they're beautiful because they are beautiful.
Yes.
You have to let people know, and you have to encourage people. I love to encourage, and you know, because it helps with their self-esteem, and self-esteem is so important in everything that you do in this life. It is, yes, ma'am. Because if you never tell them, you know, that they're beautiful or that, you know, or anything positive, how are they going to treat other people? You know,
we
got
to
give them a head start. Yeah, you got to start it early.
You
have to start it early.
You
know I am. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I hope you don't hear all the birds and all the good wildlife, you know, going on in the background, but it's all good.
Well, I will your thunder, but y'all, she's on location. All right, I'm handing it off. You have a best day.
Thank
ever.
You. Well, yeah, thank you for the lesson, and we can't wait to hear more.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you. That was Sister Deaconess June Rogers. Always a good lesson. Hey, get your tea, coffee, cookies, your crumpet, and on the other side of this song, we will start our worship service. Amen.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day.
Honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
You look so much better when you smile. So smile.
ain't easy, but
today's a new day. So tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain.
That Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower down.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still. Whatever you're in right now,
smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And my people say,
oh, oh, oh.
Smiling all over this beautiful world. Sun shining on both sides of the streets, and I'm broadcasting from sunny Orlando, Florida. What a blessing. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Okay? And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own sister deaconess, Loretta Welch. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Kathy. It's my pleasure.
Great.
As she said, my name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I'm here to bring you the morning scripture and prayer, and it's coming from Colossians 1, 15 through 23, and it's titled Christ is Supreme. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your own minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free of accusation if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for your love, for your life, love, family, and friendship and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who takes part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted up to you by your people. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayer, and preach word so that those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Loretta. We appreciate you, and have a great day.
Yeah, and you do the same, Kathy.
Thank you, thank you. All right, that song Pastor played, it was just so perfect, Smile. And now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
We give you glory. We give you all.
Amen. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? But we need to live like God is like that. Amen. We can't let the current situations going on in our world, the things we don't understand, how God could let Russia just smash Ukraine the way that's happening over there. But, amen, we know that God is good, and we know that God is good all the time. Amen. So we still say, in the light of what's going on in this world today, but look, Christians, look, church, Jesus told us this stuff was going to happen. He told us that this stuff was going to happen, and he told us how to respond. He said, rejoice when you see all these things happening, because your redemption, time for Jesus to come back and get his church, his body, out this world, amen, is close at hand. And so that means we're getting ready to go home, y'all. We're getting ready to get up out of this forever. But before we go, Acts, as Crystal tells us all the time, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is still large and in charge. We still got to go to Jerusalem. Somebody in Jerusalem ain't safe. We still have to go to Judea. Somebody in Judea, in our community, in our county ain't safe. We got to go to Samaria, too. You know them people in them places we don't even like to go. We got to go there. God got some people there that need to be saved. Like Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. We got to go. And when we get through with that, the Lord says that we should keep on until we spread this word all around the world. And Jesus says in Matthew 24:14, when the gospel has been preached to the whole world, then shall the end come. Guess what, y'all? Jesus can come back any day. But here's what we need to do right now before we get home. We need to make room for him. We need to stop telling Jesus, I ain't got room for you, no Bible class. I ain't got room for you, no church. I ain't got room for you, no home Bible study. We need to make room, y'all. Listen to the song.
I find space for what I treasure. I make time for what I want. I choose my priorities, and Jesus, you're my number one. So I will make room for you.
Amen. Scripture says, if we seek his kingdom and his righteousness above all else, that is the part that we need to get to, above all else, God wants us to stop telling him no. Amen. Jesus, I can't go to Bible class. Jesus, I can't even study the Bible at home. Jesus, I can't teach my kids the Bible. Jesus, I can't go to church on Sunday. That's too many days out the week. We need to stop telling Jesus no. We need to stop telling him, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I'm tired, I ain't got no more time left for you. Amen. You remember when Esau pleaded with his father, saying, Father, because Jacob had came in and ganked the blessing, and Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He begged his father, have you no more blessings for me? Amen. We need to make time for the Lord before we end up standing around like Esau wondering if God got any blessings left for us. We need to press in. The Lord told us over in James chapter 4, verse 8, he said, come near to me and I'll come near to you, but first we got to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. Then we can come near to God. But then we got to wash our hands because we sinners, and we got to purify our hearts, make sure we only believe, lean, and rely and trust in the Lord. God wants us to enjoy what the disciples had, his presence. And that ought to be enough.
I am a man blessed beyond my dreams, but it don't mean nothing. Life's not good as it seems. Love and riches, what do they really mean? They may come and go, but you will never leave. So save your treasure, we find our pleasure. All our joy is in you, just want more of you. Oh, save your treasure, we find our pleasure in you. Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
And I'm thankful because
you are our reward.
Your presence.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift. Father, we're desperate for your presence. Like we need air, like we need water. More than anything, we need your presence. We find our pleasure. All our joy is in you. In your presence, that fullness of joy. Now your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So say, we find our pleasure. It's in you. It's in you. Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
I'm thankful to call
you.
You.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift. I said you. This is a gift. I'm thankful. I give you glory. I've got to give you honor. Give you praise. In your presence, that's fullness of joy. And your right hand, that's pleasure forevermore. Having you, it is plenty. That symphony, you're more than enough.
I'm
That was beautiful. Your presence is a gift. You are our reward. Beautiful. As always, awesome, Pastor. Oh, you took us there. And we just thank you for those blessings of songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Okay? Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear, and doing double, triple duty, is our very own Deaconess, Sister Deaconess June Rogers, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Sister Deaconess June Rogers' praise to the Lord. Amen.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue a thousand times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides, in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I
eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide.
Watch God provide. Wow. Yeah, God does provide, but that's not the only reason we love him, right? I know I was listening to that song just before that where the psalmist said Jesus is her number one, and that as a result of that, she makes time for him. What about you? Well, I say that your being here this morning is evidence that you are indeed making time for the Lord. So why don't we all just kind of pledge to make this more of a habit? However much time that we have given him, we know we need to give him more. So let's all pledge to do that. So let us all go to the throne of grace together. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to come to you once again just to be in your presence. We bring to you much deserved praise and honor. Only you are worthy of our praise, glory, and honor. You made us, and you desire to have a relationship with us. That requires that we carry on conversations like this, both together and when it's just one of us and you. We know this intellectually. We even know this in our hearts. But how frequently do we instead get in our own head and speak nonsense to ourselves instead of getting before you, the Most High God, who can do something about whatever is heavy on our hearts? Sadly, too many times we endure sorrows for failing to bring our burdens to you. Father, this morning we seek forgiveness for all of the wrong we have done, that which we are aware of when we intentionally stepped outside of your will. We also ask for forgiveness of the wrong that has become so habitual that we've become unaware of it. We're not even conscious of it. Just now we were considering the times when we have flat out ignored you when we should be speaking with you. Please also forgive us for this, Lord, and help us this morning as this becomes part of the theme of our petition. Help us to see when we're doing this and help us to do better. Lord, it would be so much easier if I could just ask for you to remove all temptation and for you to make us do right. But that's not how it works. That's not how you made us. You made us with a free will. So if we choose to, we can sin. But oh, how much better our lives would be for us and everyone around us if we would do things your way. You have not asked us to do one single thing that we cannot do. We just have to do it. Perhaps our biggest problem is that we're distracted. We're distracted by all of the things that are going wrong that we can do something about. But these are things we want to blame on you. We're constantly asking about where you are when things do not go the way we think they should, especially when the things going wrong adversely impacts us personally. Lord God, in the United States of America, we have gotten very comfortable. As one of the richest nations on earth, most of us enjoy not just the necessities of food, water, and shelter, but we have the plushest versions of such. We have homes with more rooms than necessary to accommodate our families. We don't just have plain water to drink that has been drawn from a well, but we have all kinds of imported and enhanced waters already packaged in bottles. Our food is so delicious that many of us have become addicted to fatty, salty, and sugary delicacies that actually are bad for these healthy bodies you created. And when we look outside of our needs and consider our wants, luxuries and entertainment, well, I could go on for days listing them. And it's true that these extras have become a vehicle of the enemy to spoil us, deluding us into becoming entitled instead of grateful. Lord, forgive us. The reason for raising this point about our comforts is that when indeed they are threatened in some way, we really take notice. Well, here in the United States, where these luxuries are costing more, like with the fuel that we are dependent on to drive the nice cars we have and to jump on airplanes and fly to other parts of the country, often for our amusement and entertainment, we take notice. And this has driven some of us to our knees to seek your face, asking for help. Lord God, I am not you, so I cannot say how you feel about hearing us complain about raising prices or rising prices when you've given us enough to pay. But I do know that there are those who are in lack and in need. You know, I was saddened to learn that some students who do not earn enough money could not afford gas to get to a college campus. I did feel better upon learning that there are resources to help that I could pass on. But how many others are in such a situation where they have low-paying jobs that they can't even afford gas to get them there? And how many of us who can't help are sitting on the sidelines, especially when you're urging us to help? Oh, Lord, again, please forgive us. I ask that you move the hearts of those tuning in to reflect on how they can help and then move them to act. You know that where I'm going with this issue of our comfort is namely situations like in Ukraine right at this moment where people have no homes, they have no water, and they have no food. Some have already died by violence or dehydration. Many others continue to find their very lives being threatened, and they are in danger because of an evil ruler who wants to oppress and own them. Our prices are going up, and so it's gotten our attention. So be it that it may have taken this to get our attention, but hopefully now that our eyes are open, we will seek you in this. As we watch on television the dead bodies of babies, children, women, and men killed on a dictator's orders, we look to you and say, why? We even have the audacity to question your existence. Again, we beg your forgiveness for when any of us has audibly uttered these words or pondered them in our hearts. For we who have faith know, just as you have promised us, that you will never leave or forsake us. It really does not matter what we see around us in the natural. The truth is the truth, which is you can do anything, whether that be to save us from peril or let us succumb to an injury or illness and come home to be with you. There, I said it. We are so fearful that if we even acknowledge that your will is not our will, that this somehow affects your sovereignty to do something about our situation. We say we want your will to be done, but the evil one has been able to figure out that we don't really mean this. And so we walk around pretending as cowards, afraid to acknowledge that you have a right to choose to do something different than what we want to see happen. Yes, we petition you just like Jesus did when he asked if there was a way for you to remove the cup, that bitter cup he was faced with drinking. But then he said, not his will, but that your will be done. Oh, Lord, and I thank you that he said yes, that he wanted your will to be done, because that's how we got saved. Lord, help our unbelief and our ability to see that no matter what happens, you are indeed large and in charge. Father, let us start to measure our faith against situations that have been tried and true. When the Hebrew boys refused to bow down before other gods, they did so in the face of death. They acknowledged that no matter what your will was, they were not going to sin against you. So we know they were serious. They were serious because they were, in fact, thrown into a fiery furnace while honoring you. Daniel was serious about your will because he was thrown into a den with a lion. Thank you, Lord, for including these real situations in the Bible. Many of us are facing some disturbing situations, like living in a war-torn environment. But few can ever say that honoring you meant they were thrown into a furnace so hot that the persons who placed them there were burnt to death. We know that in the case of the Hebrew boys and Daniel, your will was to rescue them, showing forth your power to your glory. But there are other situations documented in the Bible where your servants died as martyrs. And then there was Jesus Christ, the Messiah, your Son and our Savior. Despite knowing the persecution, the beating, the suffering as part of his sacrifice on the cross, he said, not my will, but your will be done. Oh, God, he meant it. Jesus has told us that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. These are not just words. Jesus lived those words by laying down his life for us. He modeled the kind of love we should have for one another. And so we are faced today with a clear situation of good versus evil, of a nation called Ukraine. The situation is akin to the David and Goliath story. Your cane is like David, a mere shepherd boy in the face of Goliath called Russia. And we know that just like David slayed Goliath, if it be your will, a nation lesser in size and military power can prevail. We pray, Lord, for the people in Ukraine and all the people all over the world who are in a similar situation. Not every conflict has gotten the attention that this one has. Genocide has occurred and continues to occur in many nations, including Rwanda, Sudan, and Myanmar. Killing off people because you believe they are inferior is just plain wrong, no matter where it's occurring. How dare we? How can we allow the enemy to deceive us, especially those who are Christians, to accept this? These other situations are not raised up to take anything away from suffering occurring in Ukraine, but just to make sure that we're placing all of those oppressed on the altar, the cases we can see and the ones we cannot see. People, men, women, and children have been kidnapped and trafficked for sex. This is a continuing problem in the world, and this happens for the perverse pleasure of a few who demand results. And their results that they demand in terms of having people that they can attack, people get raped, drugged, and sold. Lord, forgive us for not aggressively trying to stop human trafficking and suffering everywhere, for not petitioning you more for those so oppressed. We also ask that you alert the unsaved, Lord. As sure as a nation cannot wait to join something like a NATO after they're under attack, a soul cannot expect to receive your wonderful gift of salvation through Jesus Christ after they have departed this life. Lord, let those of us who call ourselves believers do like Pastor brought up earlier. Get this message throughout the world so that everyone understands and knows about the saving grace that you have provided through Jesus Christ. Lord, you see it all. And while we may not see things working together for the good, we know that you know what you are doing. So we trust you. This morning, Father, our message is one of trust. Of course we are in your hands, and we trust you. Even if we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we know that you are with us. So we fear no evil. Greater is your Holy Spirit deposited into us than the evil one in the world. No fear. No fear. So this morning, onto your altar of peace, rest, and answers, we place the weight of the turmoil of the world, the full weight of the evil occurring in far lands and the satanic attacks that find their way into our individual lives. It's too much for us to carry. So consistent with 1 Peter 5:7, we right now give all of our worries and cares to you, the one who cares for us. And so we release right now all our cares, worries, needs, and wants into the only hands that are able to hold and handle them. Father, we pray that your will is done everywhere on earth. You said that your wish is that none would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. We stand on your word that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. We acknowledge, Lord, that if we keep our mind stayed on you, that you will indeed keep us in perfect peace, because you are not a man that you would lie, and that your word is true. So if you said it, we can take that to the bank. Oh, Lord, just help us to remember to do your word. Keep our minds stayed on you, and perfect peace will be ours. Let us not be selfish, and to especially remember your charge to us to love one another as we love ourselves, and your even greater charge for us to love each other as you have loved us. This morning, we've discussed the temptation many of us face to ask where you are when things get tough. Of course, the answer is that you are right where you have always been, on your throne of grace, while at the same time, everywhere all at once, seeing all, knowing all, and never changing in your love for us. That means we need not worry about anything. We should indeed pray about everything, as we are right now. Again, while we intellectually grasp that you are all-powerful, when we do not see you display that power when we want you to, we become anxious. When that happens, Father, please call to our remembrance that you can indeed do anything, so we need not worry because you never sleep or slumber. That means none of this catches you by surprise. Every war that has broke out since the beginning of time, you knew when it would start and how it would end. You also permitted them to occur. But you have told us we have a role in this as your children that includes prayer and doing the right thing. So today we are asking that you would move the hearts of those who have anything to do with this, whether they be the decision makers as presidents or generals, or whether they're soldiers on the other end of a tank or firearm. We ask you to show them that you are real. We commit ourselves into your hands once again, seeking your face and asking that you would heal our nations, fully aware that as your people, because again, you promised that if your people call by your name will come before you humbly, pledging to turn from our wicked ways, that will activate your promise of healing our land. We pray for the true salvation of those in leadership of our nations. You said that the heart of the king is in your hands. We pray that they will seek you and make godly decisions. Let them every day acknowledge and be mindful of the stewardship that many of them pledged to undertake. We pray for healing, spiritually, mentally, and physically, for the sick that may be among us. Lord, you know, just before, earlier this morning, I got a message that was sent last night that there's a 2-year-old, Phyllis's grandson, that he's in the hospital. So we pray for him and all the sick. We pray that their loved ones will know and feel your presence every step of the way towards their healing and recovery, and we're pleading that it will take place speedily. We are grateful for the recovery of Mother Irma, who has been released from the hospital. Oh, Lord, I expect we're going to have plenty more praise reports. Help us to see, Lord, it's you that's with us, that it's you who's leading us into all righteousness. Help us to remember, Father, that you always permit those to find you when they earnestly seek you and that you protect us. Help us to also remember, Lord, though, that our days are numbered, whether that's because you're going to come back before we die or, as Pastor O is always saying, we'll have our own private pulling up into the air. So help us to just acknowledge that, Lord, to remember that time is short, and may that urge us to be about your business. For those who have recently lost loved ones, we ask that you comfort them by way of the Holy Spirit and by acts of kindness, especially from those of us who are believers, so that they can see you through our works. We're placing all this at your feet, our world, families, relationships, anything that's on our hearts. We're going to leave it right here at the altar. We will not move until you tell us to. We're casting all our cares on you, just like you told us to. So please now, Lord, hear all of the individual requests that are being offered up from across the entire world of worshipers through this broadcast. And we thank you for this venue of Blog Talk and for listening to us. I pray, Father, that everyone listening in is either saved or will be before this service is ended. Please use this offering of praise, worship, and teaching to draw men and women to you so that they accept your wonderful salvation. We also pray that those saved already will keep pressing on in unity in our faith and the knowledge of your Son so we mature and measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Father, we also recognize that it's not just those that are tuning in live that will hear this message. Many will tune in the future, some in the distant future. And we pray, Lord, that you will open their physical and spiritual eyes so that they will see and understand. Lord, they may be facing a war in their time. It may even be the war of all wars, Lord, maybe even during tribulation times. Father, get them to see that you are timeless, that it's no mistake that they've tuned in for this message, Lord. We pray for these souls. Give them a word for them in their time. And Heavenly Father, we know that you will do this because you are a faithful God, keeping your covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love you and keep your commands. We bring these petitions as we proclaim you as King, acknowledging you to be that you are, as eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only God. And so we join heaven this morning declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And now we seal this prayer in the name that is greater than any other name, in the name that one day every knee will bow to and every tongue will acknowledge and confess as Lord. In the great name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Rogers. Always
my honor.
doing double, triple duty and praying and making our requests known to God. You just do what doctors do. All right. appreciate you and have the best day ever.
You too. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. We are truly having a great service today. I'm enjoying it. I hope you are enjoying it too. With more to come, like I said, broadcasting from sunny Orlando, we're celebrating Darius Freeman's 21st birthday. Happy birthday. Happy 21st birthday, Darius. And I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessings. Amen. All right. Time for the preach word. A message from God. You know, this is the best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate. See, Pastor, Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate, come in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Dear Father, yeah, I know you see me.
I cannot hide, you know what I have done. Yet you decided to love me anyway. No, I cannot lie. How do you see beyond my flaws? No, I don't know why you would save somebody like me.
What kind of love is this
that would claim a filthy rag?
What kind of love is this?
I can still see the good when it's all bad.
What kind of love is this
that would lay down his life just for me? None greater, none greater, none greater. No, there is no greater love.
I'm not the only one. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate, and I am going to serve the dish that the Lord has prepared. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this brand new day. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, and salvation. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for each and every one that's listening. We thank you that you continue to move me out of the way, Lord, throughout this message so that I can be a pure vessel for you, Lord. And I pray for someone's encouragement today through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word that the Lord has already given this morning, literally this morning, was Psalm chapter 46. And I will be reading from the New Living Translation, Psalm 46. Before I get going, I want to ask for prayer for the Chambers family, Sister Anita and Quinaya. Anita's father went on home to be with the Lord, and as well as for my cousin, Marissa Garland. Her father went on home to be with the Lord out of Hamilton, Ohio. So I pray for comfort and peace and ask that you do the same for them and their families as well. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos, and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders, and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is there among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear, burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his awesome word. Amen. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. God is our safe place. That's what refuge means. It means to get into a safe place away from danger. And our strength, which is the quality of physically being strong, always ready to help in times of trouble. It's amazing how us as God's children forget that. When things arise, even things abroad, like what's going on in Ukraine, even with the pandemic economy and with inflation and food and gas prices and everything, we forget, God's children forget that he's our safety place. He's our strength, and he's always ready to help in times of trouble. I've been sharing with family and friends that I appreciate and I recognize more and more the daily instructions that the Lord provide me on a personal basis for that, because one thing I'm learning to realize is that no matter what the instructions are, they always work out to my good. I always end up in a good, proper place because of what the Lord has told me to do. And I mean something, and I love him for that because he cares about even the minute details concerning John. So, for example, he'll tell me, this is what you need to eat. This is what you need to drink. This is what to do in the gym today at this moment in time. He tells me when to pull back and when to press forward. He tells me when to lay down and get some rest. He tells me when to get up. Now, the getting up part is difficult because sometimes the Lord really doesn't care about my alarm clock, so it may be 2 or 3, 1:30 in the morning. So, but I'm learning to understand that the Lord is my safe place. He's my strength. And he's always ready to help me in my times of trouble. And we're going to have trouble. We're going to face trials and tribulations throughout this life. But we have to understand, regardless of what's going on, that he's our safe place. He's our strength. He's always ready to help us in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. You know, I remember when I was in elementary school, we actually had an earthquake in Michigan. And they said if you were like on the second or any floors above that, you felt a little tremble. And people were like, wow, you know, like usually California earthquake. But they can happen anywhere on the earth. And, you know, I didn't feel anything because at the time I was at Mark Twain School, so that was all one level. But I remember having a conversation with my cousin who said he felt the building move, shake a little bit, not too much, but he felt a little rumble. And people were concerned. People were afraid. But it says right here, so we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam and let the mountains tremble as the water surge. So regardless of what's going on, whether it's a natural disaster, whether you physically present, and I know that would be a very frightening thing to see because if any of you have been in the presence of a mountain, I mean, they're huge. It's phenomenal. And when I look at stuff like the ocean or, you know, mountains, I think about God's handiwork and his creativity to even fathom such, you know, thing. Like, if you've ever stood on the shores, I've had the pleasure of being on the shores of the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean, the same feeling that I can't believe the Lord did this, like, how do you come up with something like an ocean or a mountain without any other inspiration? You know, see, man, we have inspiration because of what God has done or other people have done. But to see an ocean or a mountain and to watch a mountain crumble into the sea would be a phenomenal thing to witness. But the psalmist is talking about we shouldn't be fearful if God is our safe place and our strength, and no matter what. But when you think about the imagery, if you've seen the ocean, an ocean, if you've seen a large body of water, if you've seen a mountain, what you should understand what this imagery is trying to portray. That regardless of all, if all of that goes crazy, regardless of if the gas prices get to $12 a gallon, I mean, Lord forbid. My brother sent me a picture. He lives in California, and they were as high in his area as $6.50. And then if you got a full service at that particular gas station, it was $7.50. So what my reply was, I'm not going to complain about $4 a gallon. And my brother's reply was, I smile when I see $4 a gallon. So regardless of what's going on, we need to understand that God is our safety place. God is our strength, always ready to help us. So a river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed from the very break of day. God will protect it. So back in biblical times, a city that had a river that went through it or that was close by, usually that area in commerce was pretty rich. So because of resources, because of that water, because of trade, that city, you know, had pretty much a lot of I wouldn't say money, but, you know, resources, because, you know, you had boats and ships that could get in and out of the city because of the river, you know, and then, you know, how to have access to water right there in your city for produce, for, you know, crops, or even your animals was a wonderful thing. So that when it says the river brings joy to the city of our God, when you look at what a river brings, you know, in that brief explanation, water can provide a lot of resources to that city. So when you see the city of our God is talking about Jerusalem. So the sacred home of the Most High God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed from the very break of day. God will protect it. So we know that the Israelites were God's chosen people. We know that provided for them protection and everything else. Now, Jerusalem physically didn't have a river that went through it. So what the psalmist is talking about is God providing for his children. We can take a lot out of that. So regardless of the circumstances, God will provide and protect his children. It's a wonderful thing to be a son or daughter of the Most High. Look at verse 5. It says, God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed from the very break of day. God will protect it. Brothers and sisters, we need not get tripped up about what's going on in this world. Pastor O said something that rung like an alarm in my head. He said, stop telling God no. Like the song says, I say yes, Lord, to your will and your way. Just simply say yes to the Lord. Tell him no. We shut off different parts of our lives to him, and we don't allow him full access. And that's not fair. The Lord loves you. He protects you. He covers you. He looks out for your children. He covers your job. I mean, every single aspect of you, the Lord touches and protects and keeps. Even if you're going through something, even if you sprained your ankle or your blood pressure's a little high, you know, or anything that you may be going through. And the truth of the matter is, if we're being honest, brothers and sisters, is that a lot of our problems are self-inflicted. The fried chicken down because we eat too much of it and it drives our blood pressure up. We can't put the liquor or the cigarettes down, so it causes other problems in our body. We say no to the Lord, and we have free will. He respects that, so he won't touch that area of your life that needs attention. But right here, God dwells with us. We cannot be destroyed, and God will protect us. Amen. Verse 6 says, the nations are in chaos, and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. We see every day on the news that nations are in chaos. Kingdoms are crumbling. Money is crashing. And everything else is just wearing away. But we need to have our faith in our safety place, in our strength, and our Father, our elder brother, and our Comforter, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's where our insurance is. It's not in State Farm. They're going to overcharge you. It's not in AAA. They're not going to cover everything. It's not in Liberty Mutual. There's going to be a problem with your claim. It's in the Lord. Regardless of what's going on, God's voice thunders and the earth melts. You know, back in the day in the wilderness with the Israelites, when Moses was leading them toward the promised land through the wilderness, God used to speak. And when God spoke, it would be thunder, lightning, the earth shook. It was all kinds of things that happened when God spoke. So the people literally went to Moses and said, please, be our, go to God, get the message and bring it back. Because when God spoke, it terrified the people. I mean, if you saw all that stuff going on, you would be afraid too. So when it says God's voice thunders, and again, please understand, God, the earth is going to respond to the Lord and everything else because of who he is, because he has all power. You know, I couldn't imagine, but I'm thankful, but I couldn't imagine being in the presence of all power. And I'm not saying that, you know, I have a problem being in God's presence, because I'm in the Lord and he's in me. But if you could just imagine for a second the biggest earthquake, the strongest hurricane, tornado, the worst thunder and lightning that you've ever heard and seen in front of you all at one time, just because God spoke. That's awesome. So when you think about that, all that power, when you look at nature and you see what some of these animals can do and how high some of these birds can soar and the things, you know, that you even witness in your body and that you've seen others do, we can do all things through the Lord who strengthens us, who keeps us safe. He cares about you and loves you and protects you and keeps you and sustains your life regardless of all these other things that are going on in this world. Wonderful. 7 says, the Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. He's still trying to reassure us that he's our protection. He keeps us from hurt, harm, and danger. I've shared this story before. One time I was walking in the neighborhood I grew up in, and it was a 4-mile walk, and it was dark, and I was afraid. And the Lord said, if I showed you the shadow of your guardian angel, you couldn't handle it. So I need you to understand that you're covered. So keep walking. Don't be fearful. And I kept on walking. And I was thankful because the Lord calmed my spirit and my body down and my mind, all of that right there, just to say, hey, I got you. You're covered. You're always protected. I'm watching you and protecting you from stuff you don't even see in the spirit realm and the physical. I got you. I've been shot at close range and didn't get shot. And they shot twice. But the Lord covered me and protected me. He's proven to be my fortress, our fortress. Amen. Amen. So verse 8 says, come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Brothers and sisters, I know we freaking out about of potential war, World War III and nuclear war. What does it say right here? Come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. The Lord has not lost control. If he wants something to end, i.e. coronavirus, i.e. the war in Ukraine, and other issues and disruptions that are going on around the world, he can bring them to an end with just a thought. That's the all-powerful safety place, strength, father, provider, healer, savior, comforter that we have at our disposal, who loves us and protects us and keeps us. So stop tripping about what you see on CNN, what you read in the newspapers and online. The Lord has not lost control. He keeps the show running. He maintains the earth and the fullness thereof. He even sustains your life. Take it personal. We worry about all these things going on all around the world and all around the country, and we don't talk to the Lord. We don't do our part. Because we have a part, Body of Christ, church. We need to make disciples. If we don't have any motivation, we got plenty of it right now to get folks saved. Verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. The Lord has had to tell me at times to be still, to be quiet. And to know that I'm the Lord, I'm God, I run the show, not you, not your money, not your job, not your family, not your friends. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. There's going to come a time where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. You can bet on it. Sometimes we do just need to be still and be quiet and know that he is God. Period. You know, when I start tripping in my mind and in my speech about the world leaders, the Lord has had to redirect me and say, pray for them. And pray for all leaders around the world, whether you are a leader in your home, in your state, wherever, country, globe, pray for them. So I've had to make that a routine, a habit, instead of complaining about the fact that, you know, it seems like leaders are just politicians. And not leaders anymore. But I pray for them because I know who can fix the problem. I know who runs the show. I know what my protection is. I know what my strength is. And verse 11 says, the Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. I love how the Lord in this passage, he's reassuring and reinforcing the fact that, hey, I'm the hookup. I got you. I will keep you. I will cover you. I'm your safety place. I'm your strength. I'm your Lord. I'm your Father. I'm your Savior. I'm your Comforter. But you know, if you're not saved, none of that matters to you. You unprotected out here in this world. You're out here on your way to hell. I was just sharing with someone that eternity is a long time. It's not even constrained by time because it just goes on and on and on and on without end. I made the decision as a 10-year-old in 1987 to get saved because I did not want to go to hell. So this is so simple. I made the decision as a kid, and I've been walking with the Lord 35 years, close to actually. And I'm thankful for my relationship with him and how he loves me and cares for me and protects me and is my safety place and my strength, my fortress. But if you're not saved, he's not that for you. But he wants to be, because he loves you. Believe that he sent his son Jesus to live for you, to die on the cross, to save you from all your sins, and to rise from the grave. That's the first part of it. You can't. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through him. So if you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave to pay for all of your sins, past, present, and future, taste and invite him on into your life. So if you believe in your heart of hearts genuinely that Jesus died for all your sins and rose from the dead, then you just have to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I am an admitted sinner. I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for all of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and life so that I can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you believe and you prayed that prayer, you're saved. Bible-based church. And if you're anywhere in the metro Detroit area, I personally invite you to Running for Christ Ministries. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for you being our safety place, our strength, our fortress, our shelter, and always ready to help us in our times of trouble. Help us to realize that what's going on in the world, you already talked about in your word. So we need to have our faith and encouragement and our assurance in you, not in what's going on in the world. If we're so concerned about what's going on in the world, Lord, help us to lead others to you to make sure that folks are saved before the time runs out. Because we know it's going to happen because your word says so. And we love you and we thank you so much. And help us, Lord, to give you access to all areas of our lives so that we can be who you designed us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful reminder word. You know, sometimes we just get so caught up in everything that's going on around us that we tend to forget that God is still who he is. And so we, you know, a lot of times just need to go back to basics. And, you know, when you were talking about watching the news and everything, I'm a firm believer that, you know, we always have to be mindful of the things that we take into our spirit. You know, the negativity of the news and social media and all that stuff can, you know, all but convince us that God has truly left us, stops us from doing a lot of the things that we have to do, and it hinders us from moving forward in what the Lord has called us to do. And so we have to remember who God is and what he can do, and that he is sovereign over everything. And the Psalms as a whole are reminders to us of how awesome and amazing God is, and how he keeps his promises, and that he will do what he says he will do. So we have to be still, and we have to know that he is God, and that no matter what we see or what we hear or even what we feel, that God is still the omnipresent, the omniscient, the omnipotent, immutable, and holy, eternal God. So, Pastor Johnson, thank you so much for just helping us to strip all of that extra weight off of us and to just go back to basics and to just remember who God is and put him in the proper perspective. So thank you so much for the word that you brought to us today. We truly appreciate it. Amen. So as I transition into my announcements, happy Saturday, everybody. It is the third week of the month of March. Time is marching on, no pun intended, amen. So just a couple of announcements. Sunday, March 20th, we will hold our in-person worship service. Service begins at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in song and worship. We will hear the preached word by our very own Pastor O. As always, you are welcome to join in with us in person. All we ask is that you wear a mask. If you do not have one, no worries. One will be provided for you at no cost. Also, if you are not ready to be in person with us, it's no problem. We don't take offense to that. It's okay. You can listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website at rfcm.org and clicking on Recorded Sunday Services. Amen. Also, don't forget, every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own presiding person, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, has her show on Blog Talk Radio entitled Bring Back the Family. Please visit our church website, again, rfcm.org, under the Christian Resources page for more information on calling in or logging in to her show. Bible teacher training class, we know that starting tomorrow, we are officially having to put what we learned into practice. So we don't have our classes for at least another good 7 or 8 weeks until we get through everyone. So, you know, we all have our assignments, and so everybody just needs to be ready to present. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we will hold our Bible reading class. Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks will be teaching from the book of Psalm, chapters 111 to 115. Questions are available online at rfcm.org. Click on Bible classes, or if you're in person in church, they will be on the back table on Sunday. I always say make sure to check the back table either on your way in or on your way out. There's always good information and tons of free stuff back there that will help you to know what's going on. Amen. Also, every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries hold their ladies Bible class from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher for this. So for more information, if you'd like to participate, rfcm.org, click on Christian Resources, and you'll be able to find the information to link in with the ladies Bible class. Amen. Also, if you would like to pay your tithes and offerings, rfcm.org is the place to go. Click on tithes and offerings if you'd like to give to the preacher that brought the word to us today, which was Pastor Jonathan Tate. Please remember to specify his name when you are giving your love offering, and we will see to it that they receive it accordingly. Amen. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with them. Amen. We just want to continue to remember to pray for Tyrone Hamilton. Pray for all of our mothers who are, praise God, still on the move at Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. I just about did a cartwheel when I got an email that Mother Irma Miller is now at home. Praise God. She is home and able to, you know, rest and recuperate. So please continue to keep her in prayers as well as Dorothy Gaither, our very own Sister Sleep. Amen. Amen. Could pray for all the bereaved families everywhere. As always, pray for our world, our leaders, especially in Ukraine, and all the people that live in that country that are fleeing for their lives. It's just really overwhelming to see. I say it every week since this has been going on. I am not into politics, completely clueless about anything that's going on over there. I know it's power, greed, you know, title, position, you know, covetousness, all of that. But at the end of the day, it's wrong. You know, children, Deaconess June, you know, talked about, you know, children, just, you know, bodies just strewn all over. It's just a horrible situation. So it doesn't take a genius to know that what's going on over there is wrong. So just pray. Amen. And so we just want to continue to pray for our president, just like Pastor Jonathan Tate was just talking about. You know, sometimes he gets to, you know, saying things about, you know, our leadership and things like that. So the Holy Spirit is like, hey, pray. Amen. We know that prayer is how we bring heaven down to earth, amen, because what's going on in the spiritual realm is what is manifesting itself down here in the earthly realm. But in order to bring heaven down to earth, we have to pray. Amen. So please continue to pray for our president and all the leaders of this country, you know, that they're guided and they lead in the right direction for this country. Amen. So Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7 speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Excuse me, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen. Talk about inspirational. Talk about being happy about having a new heaven and a new earth, because we ain't tearing up heaven, but we are most certainly destroying our earth. Amen. Amen. So happy birthday. Amen. To all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today. Pastor Jonathan started us off this month with his birthday on the 1st. Amir and Alana both celebrated their big number birthdays on the 7th. Daylene celebrated her birthday on the 8th. James McClendon celebrated on the 10th. Darius Freeman is down there getting it in for his 21st birthday down in Orlando. So happy, happy birthday to him. And our amazing Deaconess June Rogers, my June, amen. She will be closing us out this month, celebrating her birthday on the 22nd. Amen. So happy, happy birthday to each and every one of you. Amen. Amen. So last but not least is your devotional for today. And it's entitled, God is Working in the Waiting. And this is by Prone to Wander. Amen. So do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Are you at a place in your life where you are earnestly seeking the Lord for direction? Have you had a major change in your circumstances that has left you unsure on how to proceed? While you seek God for guidance, sitting around until God intervenes in your situation may not be the wisest thing to do. Ruth was widowed, left her homeland, and now finds herself in a foreign country. Her decision to go with her mother-in-law, Naomi, was an active expression of her faith, but she did not stop there. Amidst the uncertainty of her future, she took the next best step that made sense according to her faith. She knew she had to do something for them to survive. She searched around for opportunities, looked at her resources, and did what she can with what she had. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 2, it says, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. She went out and did the next sensible steps she can. And as you know, the rest is history. Amen. You may be faced with similar uncertainties as Ruth. You have no idea what's going to happen next. Life has thrown you a curveball, and you find yourself in a situation you did not anticipate. But don't wait for a miracle to happen or for a blueprint to fall down from heaven before you make your next move. Look at what you've got and begin from there. Do what you are capable of while looking to God and trusting him in every step. That is how he unraveled his plan for us. In the day-to-day, seemingly mundane routines is where he gives us that we need to do all that he has called us to do. God doesn't always choose to move and work in big ways. Excuse me. The story of Ruth shows us how he is also present in the small, seemingly unnoticed events in our lives. And though these moments don't seem glamorous or exciting, you can trust that he is never idle. He is working in the background and faithfully pursuing his perfect will. And so we say this prayer together because we trust the Lord and we know that he is who he said he is. Wonderful God, nothing ever surprises you. You are not thrown off by the twists and turns of life. You are always in full control. We confess that life's challenges can overwhelm us. Remind us that nothing is too big for you. In these times, we choose to continue to seek you and move forward in our pursuit of you and the fulfillment of your perfect will in us and in the world. Glorify your name as we choose to trust and live for you today. In Christ's name we pray, amen, amen, and be filled with his spirit and encouraged today as you keep on keeping on. Amen, amen, and those are your announcements.
Amen. You know, Crystal, it never ceases to amaze me how God knits, how the Holy Spirit knits this whole service together and puts everything, you know, all together. We're all, Kathy down in Florida, who knows where June at? Amen. And Jonathan was in the car preaching. And
you,
I don't even know where you at. You might be in Spain somewhere.
At home,
I don't know.
In pajamas, under my covers, in the bed.
I bet I know what happened. I bet you Jesus liked to talk in the middle of the night, don't he?
No, he don't. I had to do my assignment because I'm first preventer tomorrow, and I was up till 2:30 doing my paper, and I'm like, Jesus, I feel like I just did too much. But guess what? I'm going to read everything on that paper. I don't want nobody asking me no questions. I'm going to read that paper, and we're going to get to getting.
Now, you know the Holy Spirit going to fill in. The Holy Spirit going to fill in. He going to jump in and start saying things, you know. But I'm proud of you guys. You know, y'all get to do y'all first thing, you know, for and actually it's in church, in person. And so that's,
oh, my God.
Cool.
I'd rather have a baby. I'd rather have
y'all
a baby
might.
With no men. No men.
Y'all might have some people coming out.
Mm-hmm. No, nobody's allowed in church tomorrow except those of us who are in teacher training class. That's it. Nobody, the doors will be locked to anyone else until it's time for church.
Okay, church, don't come out at 9 o'clock when the teachers are out doing their in-person presentations.
Nope.
But if you do,
nope.
The locks don't even work.
Yes, they do, because you just said they got the doors fixed, so that's not true. Oh, first down one time.
See why your memory got to be so good.
Because I listen.
Oh, Lord have mercy. But I know y'all going to do an excellent job. I know y'all teach it, and I know she taught you well. I heard it in Lolo. I heard it this morning in June. I heard it in you when you last taught in the Psalms. So it's in there. It's in there.
Help, Jesus.
I'm just thankful to God that it worked and folks went to the next level. That's what makes me happy as a pastor.
Amen.
You know, and I'm thankful to God for Pastor Janice Tate, because she was willing to take this task on. And it is not an easy teaching. And to get this into your heads, that's the success of any teacher, is the student learns.
Amen.
Like when you heard June say, she'll see where they are, and she knows where she wants them to go, where they need to be, where she's trying to take them.
Mm-hmm.
And then she develops a plan to get them from here to there. That's like planning any trip. You go on somewhere, you make plans on how to get from here to there, and then you go ahead and work the plan. Of course, things come up along the way that you didn't see, didn't know, but then that's where God fills you. And so,
there you go.
This is, you know, this is awesome. This is awesome. So I know y'all going to do an excellent job. Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Butterflies and sun, ain't they?
Rather have a baby. Rather have a baby.
I'm telling you, preaching sermons and teaching lessons is like delivering something, you know.
Jesus.
And once I know June, I know once she got to the close and ended that prayer to close that class, she was like, Jesus, you got your money's worth.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you get like 2 minutes to get over that, and then next week, the sermon that hit you or the class that hit you, and now it's on the next week. So it never stops. Never. On and on, on and on and on. All right,
no,
Crystal, thank you.
You're welcome. You
might
go there.
I'm telling you, you know it. You know how I should go there,
I
right?
I know.
This is like, you know that's a wrap.
No, do it,
yep. To the break of dawn. Ooh. Okay, all right. See what
here
you
we
did.
Go.
All right, Crystal.
Oh,
love you.
I'm
see
out.
You later.
Love
tell
you
me or I say what's up.
I sure will.
Hey, man, we thank God for each and every one of you, and I'm ready to email my answer to the Would You Rather. I'm kind of glad Sister Rodge is teaching again because I like them Would You Rathers. And this was a tough one. You know, do I want that money right up front right now? Sounds real good, but nobody knows nothing but me. Or do I want later on down the road and everybody in the end knows? What you going to choose? So send her an email. You got her email address. Go ahead and send her an email. If you don't have her email address and you're listening somewhere around the world, go to our church website. Send it to me. I'll send it to her. Amen. So do you want that money right now? Riches. Nobody knows. Just you. You got that money. Or do you want notoriety and everybody else knows all about you when you leave? Amen. I want that money, but I want the notoriety. I want the, you know. So, hey, make your choice and send her an email. I want to thank her for altar call and for teaching the excellent class. I know if her teacher was listening, Pastor Janice Tate, she's proud this morning. Of course, thank Kat down there and all that sunshine in beautiful Orlando, Florida, along with, amen, my niece Keela and her son, King Darius. Amen. They down there, or King Darius, he in the book of Daniel. He kind of old, but he in the book of Daniel. But anyway, I want to welcome you from where I'm at to the beautiful, wonderful, awesome day. Okay, it's gray and it's rainy and it's foggy, but it's awesome. Praise the Lord. I heard the sermon. Amen. But anyway, I want to thank Deaconess Kathy for, even though she's out of town, early in the week before she even left, I knew who was going to be doing scripture and prayer and altar call. Good looking out, Kat. Appreciate you. Can't wait to the show tomorrow. Your show is so exciting. I'm telling you, it's hard to even end it. People want it so bad, but that's a good thing. One day, Deaconess Loretta Welch, she was the last teacher just before June. She taught us the book of Colossians. Can I thank God enough for her and her awesome husband, Deacon Oliver Welch, for allowing her to take the time that she had to take to teach us and to come back this week and be right back in service. I want to thank Pastor Jonathan Tate. Amen. You may have heard him say assistant instead of associate. That's because he got promoted. Amen. We had to take care of some legal matters for the church that involved him being added on to something. And so when we took care of that stuff, amen, some legal issues came up and he had to be assistant. And so we made him assistant instantly. And there you go. So now we have two assistant pastors, assistant pastor Janice Tate, assistant pastor Jonathan Tate, and we got two associate pastors, associate pastor Terrence Tate, and associate pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we thank God for him and for his work. He had to get off, take care of some business. So I'm telling you, he said he appreciate the opportunity just to bring the word of God. Amen. I'll be preaching tomorrow, Lord willing, and we wake up and everything's still the same. Ain't got that personal rapture or got that church rapture. Amen. And we're still here and we get there. Going to be in my James series. We dealt with chapter 1 last week. We're going to deal with chapter 2 this week about being prejudiced. Amen. And not racist, but prejudice. That's a whole different thing. And so we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about how, since we're saved, there ought to be some good works that people see. Amen. Other than that, faith kind of dead. So come out tomorrow. You want to hear the rest of that. Amen. And again, the teachers, pray for our teachers. They've been in class with Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, and she has been, amen, she has been teaching them on a whole nother level, okay? And you heard Deaconess June Rogers just lay it out, you know, the homiletics, the exegesis, eisegesis, you know, all of those things so that we get what's in the word and get it out. And can we, context, extrapolate from the word something that we can actually apply to our lives today? Or is it just history? If it's just history, then we have a history of God and how he acted with these people. So we can take that. But we cannot take what God said to those people. So I thank God for her and what she's doing with the teachers. Pray for them. They're going to be coming out at 9 o'clock at Run for Christ in person in the church. Amen. That's a new thing. Ain't that something? You got to say it like that. But anyway, they'll be out at 9 o'clock giving their presentations. You're welcome to come out at 9 o'clock and watch them do their thing. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Am I good, baby Holy Ghost? Am I good? I didn't see it too much. Baby Holy Ghost just said, I see it too much, so I know I'm good. God bless you. God keep you. Jesus is, as the preacher preached, as the other preacher preached, Crystal. Amen. Jesus is our resting place.
say.